Frank Holman, editor of Sleep Review. Welcome to the latest edition of the Sleep Review Soundcast. Thanks to our podcast underwriter, Clayton Sleep Institute. In this edition of the podcast, Tor Valenza spoke with Dr. Mark Varney, President and CEO of Cortex Pharmaceuticals, about CX-1739, a pharmaceutical for the treatment of sleep apnea that's currently under clinical development.
Thanks for joining us for this soundcast, Mark.
It's a pleasure.
Mark, tell us about Cortex Pharmaceuticals' potential drug to treat OSA. What is the drug called, and how will it theoretically work?
Sure. The drug in question is called CX-1739. That's the code that we've used on the drug, and it's being developed by Cortex Pharmaceuticals, and it belongs to a group of drugs that we have termed amperkines. These molecules interact with a protein that we call that's called the glutamate receptor, and it's expressed in the brain, and these molecules interact with a subset of one of the glutamate receptors called the AMPA receptor. Now, the AMPA receptor is critically involved in communication between nerve cells. And what the amperkines do is they increase the activity of the AMPA-type glutamate receptor. And so what they do is they allow stronger communication between brain cells. Now, in the 1990s, several groups identified that this particular neurotransmitter, glutamate, acting at AMPA receptors, was critical for controlling respiratory rhythm and inspiratory drive to a set of neurons called cranial and spinal motor neurons. And it was really these data that provided the foundation for the hypothesis that we're testing, which is that drugs which increase the AMPA receptor activity, such as these amperkines, can facilitate respiratory rhythmogenesis and the drive to these sets of cranial and spinal motor neurons that control the respiratory muscles. Now, what we've done at Cortex and through our collaborators is we've shown in animals that our amperkine molecule CX-1739 can alleviate central respiratory rhythmogenesis emanating from a small group of nerve cells in the brainstem that have been depressed by a variety of drugs known collectively as CNS depressants. And these include drugs like opioids, barbiturates, alcohol, and anesthetic agents. We've also shown that these amperkines can reverse apnea in premature mice. So with those animal studies in hand, we went to the clinic and we tested the hypothesis in human volunteers. We ran a couple of clinical studies, and we're able to show that indeed our amperkines could alleviate opiate-induced respiratory depression. So we went back to the animals, and we looked now at the interaction of our amperkine CX-1739 on the cranial nerve 12 activity. And the reason that this particular nerve complex is important is that this is the major nerve that controls a set of muscles called the genioglossus muscles that control the airway patency during sleep. And what's known from previous work is that a loss in activity of this nerve group during various stages of sleep leads to the genioglossus muscle relaxation, the subsequent collapse of the airways, and obstructive sleep apnea. Now, unfortunately, there are no good animal models of sleep apnea available. But one thing we do know is that people who have obstructive sleep apnea are particularly prone to opioid-induced apneas, particularly in a hospital-type setting. So we went back to the animal studies to try and better understand the actions of opioids on this particular group of nerves called the cranial nerve 12. The results from these studies demonstrated that opiates could depress the activity of this cranial motor neuron 12 activity, and was subsequently able to suppress the genioglossus muscle tone. So our amperkine molecule, CX-1739, was able to counter the opiate-induced depression of cranial nerve 12 activity and maintain the genioglossus muscle tone activity. So really, just to sort of summarize what I've said, we hypothesized that CX-1739 will similarly alleviate the depression of inspiratory drive in the cranial motor nerves that occur during certain sleep states. And given the lack of sustainable animal models, suitable animal models of sleep apnea, this hypothesis will best be tested in a clinical setting. And in fact, that's exactly where we're moving with this program.
What types of OSA patients might benefit from this drug if it's eventually approved in the U.S.?
Right. Well, let me summarize a couple of points there. So as you go through the drug testing process, you obviously have to ensure that the drug is safe and in animal species. So we've completed an extensive preclinical safety and toxicology studies. We then went into humans in a phase one study with CX-1739. And this is first in a series of studies that need to be undertaken with any experimental drug just to evaluate the safety and tolerability.
Right.
So we did this. We found CX-1739 was well tolerated, was safe. We had very few side effects. We saw no changes in vital signs, in the cardiovascular system, in blood chemistry. And we determined as well that the pharmacokinetics of the drug, that is, how well the drug behaves in the plasma, was ideal for an indication like sleep apnea. So we completed the phase one studies, and then last month we initiated a phase two study in sleep apnea patients. And this was a study where we took all types of sleep apnea patients. As you know, there are three types of sleep apnea. There's obstructive sleep apnea, which represents the most common type of sleep apnea. There's then central apnea, which is a much rarer type of sleep apnea. And then the other fairly large population of sleep apnea patients belongs to a class that's called mixed sleep apnea or complex sleep apnea, which is where patients have a combination of both central and obstructive sleep apnea. So we're taking patients into this study who have the various types of sleep apnea. They'll go into a sleep lab for three consecutive or for three visits. And what we do is we measure polysomnography. We measure the number of apnea events that they have throughout the night. And the first two nights in the sleep lab, the patients are treated with placebo. And if the apneas are consistent between those two nights of sleep, on the third night that they come in, they're then randomized to either placebo again or to CX-1739, such that on the third night we get to determine the number of sleep apnea that the patients have in the presence of drug.
So obviously you're on your way through the phases of clinical trials, and you believe eventually perhaps that the drug might be successful and approved. How far away do you think that process will take before it reaches the American market for, I guess, these various types of sleep apnea, depending on which one it gets approved for?
Well, let me start off by saying that the drug development process in the U.S. and, in fact, in any major markets is a very long, complex, and expensive process. While we're currently in phase two studies, there's still really quite a long way to go. We've got, if our current phase two study were to be successful, and we'll find that out around the middle of this year, we would then initiate what's called a phase 2B study and subsequent phase three studies. And then by the time that you put the regulatory package together and submit it to an agency like the Food and Drug Administration, and they have time to review it, we would be looking at perhaps being able to get on the market as early as 2014.
Thank you again for joining us. We've been talking to Mark Varney, President and CEO of Cortex Pharmaceuticals, about the development of a new medication to treat OSA and other types of sleep apnea. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us, Mark.
Thank you.